This is a Defocus Media production.
Awesome. So my friend is he's from Chino Hills. The doctor
nice to meet you.
He's a recent graduate of from optometry school. He's Opto Turbin on Instagram, and a lot of doctors follow him, and he's a big sports fan. I thought it'd be cool to introduce you guys, and we'll do a little interview.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Like Dr. Corbin was saying, my name is just Deep JD Opto Turbin, and I love interviewing people who are inspirational. And usually we've been kind of talking to people in the eye field, but we kind of wanted to expand. And I was talking to Dr. Corbin, and he was like, hey, like, dude, David would be amazing to interview. Like, his process and how he started and came into the NBA, like, it's really inspirational. And I think those are things that we can kind of talk about to people in the eye field and kind of inspire them too. So we appreciate you giving us the time.
Okay. Yeah, no worries.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey and how you kind of, you know, started playing basketball, whether it be high school, college, and then how you kind of went about that process to going like to the NBA?
I guess I can start around like high school. You know, I was a star player, you know, just like a cocky kid, thought I was, you know, that guy. putting up pretty big numbers. And, you know, just got humbled real quick when, you know, no offers were coming in. I think I got – my only offer was Hawaii Pacific, and that was a Division II school in Hawaii. So, you know, things changed. So I went out there. I redshirted out there. And, you know, I decided to redshirt because I went to a couple UH games, and they're D1. And I was like, man, I lost confidence, you know, going D2. And I was like, man, like, I don't know if I could play at this level because, I mean, offers weren't coming in. Coaches weren't believing in me. But when I was out in Hawaii, I went to UH games and I was like, I could play with these guys. Like, there's no reason I can't play with these guys. So I decided to redshirt and then transfer back home to a local junior college, Santa Monica College. And I played 1 year there, got my AA degree, and told the coach, you know, I'm one and done. I want to get out of there after that. And that's when Cal Poly came in. Cal Poly threw me an offer, and that was actually my only offer as well. Santa Barbara offered me, but then they turned me down, like, last second. I wanted to go to Santa Barbara because that's where my sister went. She was alumni there. And but they turned me down last second, went with a big man, supposedly. And I went to Cal Poly, rival school at Santa Barbara too. So whenever we played them, it was definitely one that I was locked in for. So I played 3 years at Cal Poly, put up decent numbers, but you know, nothing big enough to, you know, get me to the league. So I was like, I mean, overseas is probably the only route that I can take. I tried to go overseas. I had an agent, was attending all these different showcases in Vegas and LA, and just doing everything I could to just, you know, to go play overseas. But the only offer that I did get was $700 to play, I think, in Germany. And I was $700 a month, and I wasn't doing that. I couldn't do it. But if they threw out an offer for like $1,500, then I would have been like, okay. But $700, they said you got to start somewhere, and I mean, I was believing in the process, but it was too small. So then a D League tryout came up, and I was like, I have nothing anyway, so I might as well just, you know, give it a shot. And it was tough. Like, tryouts were tough. There was a lot of good guys, you know, guys with big time names, and you know, playing high D1, and you know, I just went out there and just competed. And you know, every day was just getting confidence in myself, and was closer to making the team. And just, you know, that day when I did make the team, when Kobe Carl said I made the team, it was just a sigh of relief because I worked so hard, and you know, just get to where I was. And you know, just to be able to say I have a job, like, that was huge. And I was just happy about that. So we were a pretty good team. I think we were first place, like, throughout the whole season. I was just happy with how things were rolling. Like, we were rolling, like, we were winning games, just doing what I can to help contribute. And, you know, the opportunity just came up to play for a 10-day contract. And I was surprised. I remember getting that phone call, and I was coming from LMU. with a buddy. We were getting up shots, and Kobe Carl told me to come into the office, and I was thinking, like, the worst-case scenarios, like, oh, am I going to get cut? Like, am I getting traded? Like, what is going on? And, yeah, a 10-day never really came to my mind, so that was pretty cool to get those that news. And I just remember not sleeping that day, just knowing that, you know, I'll be in a Laker jersey in the next couple of days. And I know I didn't sleep before my first game, and that, because it was just so much. I was basically running off of adrenaline at that time. It was so much going on through my head, and a lot of nerves. But, you know, playing that first game, it just gave me the confidence to know that, you know, I could compete with these guys, and I belong here. So everything worked out. Now I'm into my fourth year. I've been playing with Lakers, Chicago, Cleveland, Brooklyn, and now the Houston Rockets. So I'm excited to still, you know, be in the league and just still, you know, trying to prove myself.
That's such an amazing journey. Thank you for sharing the details about that. I mean, for us, like Dr. Corbin and I, if we can relate, we went to optometry school, and, you know, when you put your head down for 4 years, you know at the end what the kind of the goal is. But what's fascinating about your journey is you had nothing guaranteed, but somehow, some way, you still persevered. How do you feel like, what motivated you to just keep going even without something guaranteed at the end of the day?
I mean, the biggest thing with me is my faith. You know, I believe God has a plan for me. So that's what just kept pushing me to just keep going. During the whole, like, trying to go overseas, it's like I didn't know what was going to happen. But I was still in the gym every day, you know, just putting in the work, getting up my shots, getting up my reps, and just knew that, you know, everything would be okay. I had a supportive cast, you know, I had my mom, family members, just being supportive of me, and just, you know, just praying for me, and just helping me out as much as they could. So that was huge, and I couldn't have done it without them, honestly.
So. Agreed. Having a good community is super important to keep you going and to keep you motivated. So thank you for sharing that. Would you say, let's say a traditional NBA player, they go to maybe like a bigger college and they're drafted in the first or second round, and then they go through the traditional process of being a rookie, doing all of that. Do you feel like there's an advantage to the process of having to grind the way you had to and then going to the NBA, and then now you're in a similar area? Do you feel like that background is going to elevate you in some way?
I think I was a little bit more hungry to, you know, get to their point. It's always hard to just be at the top and to have to just, you know, sometimes have to go down. Meanwhile, we were just hungry guys, just wanting to go out there and compete and to get to this level. So I think it's just a level of hunger.
No, that's great to see. And even now, just kind of scrolling through your IG and seeing like kind of the posts, like you're posting some motivational things. And like you saying now, just doing some homework, like you're injured, right? So like coming back from injury, you still have to apply some of those same principles that got you into the league, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, every day I'm just out there just trying to, you know, just showcase what I bring to the team. And I'm known to be the defender, the guy that works hard and just give 100% when he's out there. So that's my thing, is just competing at a high level and just showing that I'm hungry to, you know, just stick around and every opportunity I get just to compete. And just, you know, coming off this injury, you know, it's not an easy injury to deal with. So, you know, I don't know if teams are counting me out or believe that I can get back to where I was, but I feel like with the progress that I have so far, I can definitely get back to where I am and hopefully even better.
So. How far along are you in the recovery, David, right now? Will you be ready for January, December?
Yeah, so that's a huge thing, because before I got hurt in December 19th. December, right? Yeah, and I mean, at the time, the start of the next season was September. So, I mean, right now, it's, what, that's like a month away. I feel like I could still definitely be back by September. Oh. But so that gives me a lot of time to, you know, with the next season being pushed back, I feel like I should definitely be good for next season. And I should be good by like October, November, hopefully. So in the beginning, it was hard to see progress. You know, every day I couldn't see any progress. But now, like, a week span, like, you could see a tremendous progress. So I'm happy about how things are going now throughout rehab.
That's exciting. That's exciting to see that and to feel better and have that extra time, right, with how the NBA set up. Who knows when it will begin. How does the idea of playing in Mike D'Antoni's system sound to you? Or does that excite you, being able to shoot those shots and have the freedom?
Yeah. That was huge because when I was in Brooklyn, I've been working on my three-point shot. Kenny Atkinson was, helped me out with that. He believed in me and believed in my shot and wanted me to continue to keep shooting. I wasn't playing in the beginning because I was turning down those open shots. And just not playing those games helped me just realize, just shoot the open shot, make the game easy on myself. And I think the game is really easy when all you do is just shoot the open shot and just play defense. Like that role that I'm trying to contain, just being 3-and-D is a pretty simple role, I feel like. And I think I could definitely do that in the D'Antoni system. Everybody's doing it, just shooting the open threes and, just trying to defend. So. Hopefully just be able to just be that defensive stopper that the team needs and just knock down those open shots.
What if he asked you to play the five in case PJ Tucker had to go on the bench? How does that sound?
I think I'm cool with it. There's some big guys down there. But at the end of the day, it's team basketball. Like you gotta help your guys down there. Everybody got to rebound, They can't just rely on that one guy to just do the rebounding, like PJ Tucker to do the rebounding. So I could tell it's a team effort. Everybody's down there boxing out, and it's a joy to see just everybody being there for each other. And I think the small ball is working, they're out there competing. Like at the end of the day, the other team has to guard you too. So there's a lot of mismatches, and I definitely am willing to get down there and battle with those big men. On my former team, they had me playing the four. I've never played the five before, but we'll see.
So I have a question, David, for you too. I know you're a big Kobe fan growing up. You never got to play with him on the same team, but do you have any stories about interaction with him at all while you were with the Lakers?
No, I wasn't around when he was there. I actually never got the opportunity to see him. Okay. So that's a bummer. But
how did he influence you though? Yeah, how did he influence you then? With your game and everything.
Yeah, just being the ultimate competitor. Him leaving everything out on the floor. Like that's definitely what I try to just believe in and do as well. So. He was definitely the ultimate competitor, the guy that worked hard to get better every day. And, him dealing with his Achilles injury as well. Like, right. I think he messed up his during his, 17 seasons. So for him to just come back from that injury just gave me hope as well. So, right. So that's huge to know that I'll be fine, especially if he did it. And, he just put in the work. So I just know that if I put in the work and just – continue to take care of my body, I should be okay. So
awesome.
he's been a true inspiration for everybody, right? And it's crazy to see how the league reacted when everything happened, and not just with LA, right, but universally. And it's cool, the other day they even changed the street name to Kobe Boulevard, so that's mm-hmm. that's awesome thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was definitely good to see. Kobe, the news was shocking for us all to see that happen. I was hurt for some time, but he's in a better place and looking down on us. So,
right. And so far, my other question is: well, so far, what's your favorite NBA moment up to now? Your favorite thing that happened so far in your career?
Favorite?
Great question.
Yeah,
I think it would just be my first game. That was huge. Yeah. I remember just being at the Staples Center. I showed up literally 3 hours before the game.
Right.
Just sit down and just take a look at just where I'm at. and that was a joy to see. And I remember Luke Walton actually calling my name to check in, and I wasn't sure. I was like, me? Like I think I said me like two times. Like, are you sure? Like me? Me? I couldn't believe it. But
the other David Nwamba, the one behind me. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you sure? Like, but I remember checking in, and I think I played for 4 minutes, And I've never played so hard. Like, if I played 5 minutes, I probably would have passed out or something. Like, something would have went wrong. Like, because I was playing so hard. So I learned to pace myself and, you know, take it easy, I guess. But I was just running off of straight adrenaline. And that was definitely my favorite moment. And I think he actually told me to guard Kemba. I was so hard guarding Kemba for my first game. And just already threw me into the wolves. that was one I'll always remember. But yeah,
it's a good one. Any other questions, JD?
I mean, I got hours of questions, but I definitely loved just hearing the journey. That's just kind of inspirational for me. Yeah. And then, what would you say in the future? Like, do you have any future goals or accolades that, like, things that you're like, hey, I'd love to accomplish this before my time ends?
I mean, I'm just hoping to just be around in the league for, you know, 10 plus years. That's a goal of mine, just to continue to keep taking care of my body and just hopefully not having to deal with such a big injury like this again. But, you know, just playing 10 plus years, hopefully, you know, be one of the most improved players in the league. That's a goal of mine actually at the moment. And just showing that, you know, defense is what wins games, and to be that 3-and-D guy that I was hoping to be. So one of the top 3-and-D guys in the league. So that's a goal of mine, and I'm just out there. I'm ready to get back out there on the court and just showcase it. So I'm excited for the next season.
So to add to that question that he asked, for your future, because I know you have a sociology degree, and I know you're one of the smartest guys that I know. And so post-career, you know, 10 years down the road, you know, 15 years, do you envision yourself still in basketball as a general manager in a front office or something totally different, like in business, like your brother?
Yeah, oh, that's tough. I thought about that. At the moment, mm-hmm. I've been trying to get into real estate. I've been trying to do that. Definitely not doing anything with sociology. I've had enough sociology. Real estate. I've definitely looked to get into that, and you know, hopefully own some property. And you know, well, I don't know. I haven't put too much thought into that actually, but we'll see.
The timing's important, though. Might be a good time to buy. Not now, but, you know, within the next year, there might be some good opportunities out there to invest.
Exactly.
Property management people, you know? It's a good time to invest. Yeah.
Then the area, I got to figure out where to buy and stuff. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep, that is true.
I was also going to see the situation out here, if I was going to be here long-term or not, and hopefully, you know, get their property out here if I'm here long-term. So, see what the future holds.
Well, a lot of people from California, I've noticed, are moving to Texas, though. A lot of doctors I know, a lot of patients of mine, they're moving to Oklahoma City, Texas. The property is a lot, you know, you can get a huge house, you know, and it's a great investment. And yeah, there's been a lot of people leaving over the last 6 months, unfortunately, from California. Yeah. I noticed.
So, the prices out there in California are pretty ridiculous, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But they do have the nicest weather.
Yeah. I call it the weather tax, man. That's why we pay so much to live out here. It's weather tax. Man, I pay a lot. Property taxes are nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
I started buying stuff in other states too now, too, just as investments. You have to, you know. I have something in California, but in other states, it's good to look.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I have another thing real quick. It's an important one. I think it's for kids because there's so many kids out there that are lost or stressed with parents too, being in school online, doing the Zoom stuff. I don't like it. My kids, they're okay with it, but I think it's rough. Do you have any advice for kids? Because you've overcome a lot too, obviously, and you went to college and you went community college route. You've done a lot of different things, but do you have any advice for kids during these challenging times?
Any advice? I mean, just continue, just keep believing in yourself, you know, just doing the little things to better yourself. And that's paying attention in school and, you know, just taking it seriously. It's hard as a young kid. You don't know the value of, you know, school and stuff like that. But I think that's the biggest thing. You just, you know, taking it seriously, even if it's Zoom calls, just, you know, using the extra hours to, you know, better yourself, like reading and writing and doing all the little things to just get better. It all adds up, man.
Definitely. But,
yeah, I remember those days. I didn't really pay too much attention to it, and wish I kind of did. But yeah, so yeah, I don't, not too much advice. I don't know.
That's good. No, that's good.
No, thanks for that advice. Like I was saying, like, you know, that's, we have a whole different like, not just like an NBA listener base, but like, I think these are things that people can apply. Like when we're talking about like what you're going to do in the future, we see all these athletes, like let's say Kobe, like he didn't just have the Mamba mentality with basketball. Like he was getting into filming, or we see all these other people apply what made them successful to get to the NBA. And then after, and then I feel like those are important for people in our field. Like, how can you be better? Like you're saying, you know, within your own field, and like, even if you're not achieving success right now, or you don't stop believing in yourself, like you keep doing successful things, and then your dreams will come true if you still put yourself in that place. So that's why it was so cool to really interview you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
It's super cool. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.